The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. It's me, Nikki Glaser. That was the voice of my producer, Noah. Producer Noah is in Arizona. I am in one of the Cayman Islands, Grand Cayman. Cayman is how they say it here. I am on location. I've never been able to say that before in my life, so I'm saying it as much as possible. I'm shooting a show here that will come out at some point, and I'll be able to tell you about it. But until then, I have to keep it under wraps. But the biggest news in my life is today I am starting my podcast, my show. I'm calling it a show. That's why I named it the Nikki Glaser Podcast. So I don't have to say I have a podcast. I can say I have a show that just so happens to be named the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Not that there's anything wrong with the word podcast, because there isn't. It's my favorite medium. Right after what is his name? Jonathan Edwards. Who's some other people that can talk to ghosts? I was making a medium joke. Miss Cleo. Is she a medium?
Yeah, I think so.
She's probably a large. She was a larger lady. Listen, I'm all over the place with this joke. And what I'm trying to say is that I have a new podcast out. It's called the Nikki Glaser Podcast. You're listening to it right now. Thank you so much for listening to it. The top of the show, I'm always going to kind of just ramble for a minute or two with my producer, Noah, before we bring in my co-host slash host kick is how we end it, because it reminds me of what I would want to do to him sometimes. Side co-host kick. I think that's what we decided to call him, because it's like, I don't want to say co-host because that's giving him too much, and I don't want to say sidekick because it makes him feel belittled, which actually I would like. No, I'm just kidding. We actually had a great, my new side co-host kick and I had a great talk last night before beginning. It wasn't even before the podcast began. I really recommend this for your living partner, because we're roommates, best friends, and now we're starting a podcast together. And he is working for me for the show that I'm currently on location for. On location, Cayman Islands. Big deal. And we've been bumping heads. We're button heads. That's what I like to say, because one time my friend was telling me about a band he was managing, and I go, "How they doing?" And he goes, "Ah, they're all right. They're button heads." And I was like, "They're button heads?" I thought it was a term of endearment, like those button heads. And so I was like, "It sounds like a Wanda Sykes insult, yo, button head." That's my Wanda Sykes. But yeah, so we were button heads yesterday a little bit, and then I came home, had a little toke to relax at the end of my long ass day of filming on location. Did I mention I'm on location, Noah? And
I didn't know. Could you mention it again?
It's so freaking fun. I can't get over how fucking great my life is right now. I almost feel bad because I'm just so happy. Anyway, I got home last night and Andrew and I just had a heart to heart, and he got to tell me all the things that I've been doing lately that have bothered him. And I listened, and then he goes, "I feel like you always, it's always whenever we have these, it's always me kind of dropping a bunch of stuff on you, and you kind of," and I like apologized and like took it apart and was like, "Oh, I do that to you because you make me jealous that you get to behave that way and I don't get to, because I'm too embarrassed to behave that way. So when I see you behave that way, I want to make fun of it and make you feel bad when it doesn't go like." Like, he was like, "You, like, sometimes you make fun of me or whatever." And I'm like, "Yeah, sometimes I bully you." And it comes from an ugly place of like, you're free with yourself and you get to act like totally free, unencumbered. And it's, and I don't feel like I get to do that. I don't want to act as free as I want to. And so when you do it and it doesn't work out, I need to make fun of it. So it validates the fact that I'm smart to not do that and I should keep not doing that. Does that make sense, Noah?
Yeah, it does. I get where you're coming from. But I don't know. I guess it kind of bothers me also about Andrew that he could just be so free and We have to be mature. Saying,
but that's not his problem. That's our problem. Because everyone should be that free. And one of the reasons I love being around him so much is because he is so, doesn't care what people think. But at the same time, he does, but not as much as I do. Anyway, it was a really good heart to heart. And he goes, I feel like you never have these moments where you just tell me everything that I'm doing wrong that's bothering you. And I go, because I'm honest with you when those things come up as they're coming up. I'm more quick to voice my annoyances, and I don't harbor them. And I feel like sometimes he probably does because, you know, I don't know. I mean, there's a million reasons why, but I don't keep that. And that was really good for me to realize is that, oh yeah, I'm just kind of like honest with how I feel about things in the moment. There's not a lot of times where I'm like, I'm going to have to confront this person because it's really been building. It used to be that way, but now I'm better of just getting out when I get it out.
What about in the delivery?
What do you mean? And I go, yes. And because I deliver things in the short term rather the long term, they can come out a lot more harsh. And that's my problem is that, yes, I get them to you quicker when they're happening and I deal with my feelings, but I don't have time to process them, so they come out more eloquently and probably kinder. So I have a lot of things to work on in our friendship, but we'll do it on the show. A couple things before we actually begin that I want to say is, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for listening. I'm really excited to have a new batch of listeners and also bring in people who have been listening to my other shows that I've done in the past. I've done many podcasts. I've done the SiriusXM show, You Up. And I'm so excited to be doing a daily show again and just have a chance to put myself out there on a daily basis and talk about things that are going on and make mistakes and make up for those mistakes and say dumb stuff that I regret and say stuff that I didn't even know that I was going to say that day. Like this is all like this is exactly what I want to do with my life. I don't need to be doing this show. I want to do this show. And it's just this is going to be such a fun show. Sometimes, I mean, maybe it won't be sometimes. Maybe it'll get heated. I don't know. What I do know is that we've worked really hard to make it as good as possible out of the gate that we can. But it's going to change with us and as we get more listener feedback. So please, if you're new to the show, subscribe, rate, review, and we'd really appreciate it. Bottom line is, the Nikki Glaser podcast has started. This is not something that is going to go away anytime soon. You can commit now and pop in whenever the hell you feel like it. This isn't something you have to check in on every day, although we'd love for you to join us Monday through Thursday and interact with the show in any way you can. We want to build a fan base here, or we want to just have you come in and casually listen whenever you happen to have the time. No pressure. We're just trying to have fun and be honest and be real and laugh a lot. How about it, Noah?
Sounds good to me.
You know what I'm mostly excited about is naming our listenership, because that's always a really fun part of starting a podcast or any show. It's just the create, and who knows what it's going to be. We could coin it today.
Yeah, we could. Can I throw in one into the hat?
Yeah, please, please throw it into the hat.
Glazerheads.
Okay, I've considered it, and I think it would be Glazeheads. Even though that sounds like the end of a lot of the porn I watch, which I don't even see the end of porn I watch, to be specific. I never wait for the end. I don't like that part. I think that's a very popular part of porn is the end, the money shot, so to speak. Literally, I've never seen one. And if I do see one, it's by accident because I left it running because I opened another tab and I happened to go back to that tab and be like, oh, what happened there? So that's how I get revenge for all the times I didn't finish, is I never let anyone in porn finish. Glazerheads might be a thing. No, it has to be weirder than that. You know what I want it to be? I want it to be like when me and my best friends in high school were coming up with a code word for sex acts that we weren't doing because we weren't cool at all, but we wanted to be able to talk about them in front of our parents with, you know, that you come up with code words.
What like, was it?
Did you have any like that?
Yes.
Like what?
It was called baking cookies.
Oh my God. And what did that mean? That you were like hooking up?
It could mean like, anything from like masturbating to having sex to like
to baking cookies.
Yeah. It's just called baking cookies.
And then when you were baking cookies, were you like, I'm going to go give some hand jobs because I got to bring them into class tomorrow? for it's bake sale day. That's funny. It's always something that you literally would have to show for if you said it in front of your parents. Like, because we would say, "Mom, we're going to knit some sweaters," and then we'd go smoke pot, and then we'd come back, and there's no sweaters. I never had any interest in sweaters. It was so obvious. But one time we were coming up with a code word in my bedroom my friends were just starting to get sluttier than me. And so we were like, we can't say blowjob in front of mom and dad, even though it turns out my mom probably doesn't know what that is anyway. That joke was for my dad, who I hope is not listening. We can't say blowjob. Let's say, and I go, guys, we had already coined hand jobs as, we called it vigorous, because it's such like a, oh, like you guys know what I'm doing right now when I go, oh, oh, it's like, you're like, oh, you look like vigorous, like, oh, 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 oh. It's so vigorous. So we called it vigorous. And then I was like, what about blowjobs? And my friends were like, I don't know. And I go, it can't be something stupid like, and then I looked at a part of my shelf and I was like green vase. And my friends were like, yes. Because there was like a green vase. We were like, yes, it has to be green vase. So to this day, we're always like, did you green vase? And of course, I'm like, no, I haven't done that since January 2020. I could see Andrew like hovering in the shadow. Do you know I can see you? This is uncomfortable. This is supposed to be my part of the show that's private for me, where I can talk about you, and you are looming in the stare.
He's so eager.
It is, I wish I could show you what is going on here. He is standing right. There's a tiny mirror that's like a sun, and the part of the circle part of the sun, not the rays are all like this like wiry thing. And it's like an artsy sun. And then the sun part is a mirror. It's very small. And he is happening to stand at the part of the mirror where I look into it and I can see his little head is perfectly filling into it. And he's hiding in the stairs where he thinks I can see you.
I know, I heard my name. You said I'm bringing on my coat.
I said it's coming up just because you heard your name. I will call you when you are summoned.
I'm not, but I have to go all the way back up fucking stairs.
Don't cuss at me, mister. You said you were up there taking a poop, a nervous poop before we began. Okay, well, he will be here in mere seconds. And I say mirror like M-I-R-R-O-R because I'm staring at him in a mirror that he thought, because he could see me on the mirror, that I couldn't see him back because he doesn't understand how physics works. And neither do I don't even ask me what physics are, but I feel like mirror images are a part of our physics and light. Stop it. You are coming in when I summon you. And why are you playing with your penis? Why did you just pull at your penis? There was a pull. That's how we're opening this. Well, we'll cut it. Your penis.
His penis.
His mom already did. Wait, why? Oh, circumcision. All right, here he is, my co-side host kick, Andrew Collin.
Okay, I was a little premature and I apologize.
Yeah, hanging on the stairs, stalking me. I mean, looking at your face in the mirror where it was just your face in the middle of that sun mirror was so creepy. And I felt unsafe just because I feel like the first part of the show is mine, that I can say whatever I want. And, you know, obviously you'll hear it if you want to, but it should be my like sacred space.
100%. I was giving you all your space. I was even outside on your balcony.
You're on my balcony?
Yeah.
Let's set the stage for the people listening at home who might not know. Andrew and I don't know if you've heard yet, you guys, I'm on location for a TV show that I will be able to talk about so much when it comes out. And I can't wait to tell all you guys about it, because I do feel like I'm talking. I know many of you are already like friends and frans of mine, which are friends/fans. But I have so many more to make, and I want you to be in on my life as much as my friends are. But I can't tell you the details about this. But we're in the Grand Cayman. We're on the big Cayman Island. Cayman.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, man.
Okay, man.
That's how I learned how to say it. So it's not Cayman, it's Cayman.
That's how they say it on the radio, the one station we listen to.
Yeah, the Cayman radio station.
It could be
just
one person's speech impediment. But yes, Cayman.
Yes.
Okay, yes. And I came in early because I heard my name.
And we're living together in a condo type situation at a hotel in Grand Cayman. with the rest of the crew of the show. There's like hundreds, over 100 crew members on the show, and we have taken over this hotel. It's very fun. But Andrew and I had to quarantine for 2 weeks when we first arrived here because of COVID. This country has no COVID. So in order for us to be able to go out amongst the population without a mask, even with a mask at all, was we had to stay inside for 2 weeks. So Andrew came to this because we knew we were starting the podcast. I knew he was going to be my co-side host kick. And he came down to the show with me. He's now working on the show for me, which has been so much fun. But we live together in this tiny-ish place that we kind of talked about last night is like the ideal space. I don't need more than this. Anyway.
I mean, I could use a little, probably another 3,000 square feet.
Okay. That's not too much.
Yeah.
Right?
And with a fish, like a fish tank with a tiger shark in there.
Uh-huh.
That'd be pretty badass.
I don't like that. I mean, that would have to be a huge tank for a tiger shark
I'm
to
talking,
be happy.
Yeah. I mean, the house is tank.
Okay. Are there anything else in the tiger shark's tank?
Yeah, of course.
Make it happy?
Tigers.
Like a little castle?
Tigers, you know, and a tiger shark hanging out together.
Okay. A drowned tiger?
No, tigers can swim good.
I know, but they need... Okay, so there's also some land in this tank?
Yeah, there's an island.
I just want all these captive animals in your dream scenario here at this hotel to be taken care of and happy.
It'd be pretty badass. And then just a stock fridge.
Yeah. Well, we got that too. So we're living in this condo. Andrew and I are both on the second floor of it. He has a room with two twin beds. I have a room with a full bed. He was upstairs just now giving me my private time to do the top of the show. He crept downstairs. And now tell us what you were going
to
say.
I went upstairs. I try not to look at any of your things when I go into your room.
Oh, yeah, because you had to go through my room to go to my balcony because you don't have a balcony. That's right.
I did see some apparatuses. I try not to look at them. But
I don't have anything out. I do.
I mean, it's a colorful.
Oh, I have the blue thing.
There's multicolors by your bed of dildos.
No, there's not.
I saw at least 7 plugged in. I was like, did she bring in a?
I want to be clear that the show has already discussed some sexual topics. I am not someone who's going to talk about sex every day. I'm very well known as like a sex comedian, but this is just real life. This happened. I did not set that up for you to come down here and talk about, but this is the real life. So you saw some apparatus.
I saw some apparatus. I was wondering how you plugged them all in. I can't believe we still have power in the house. I feel like we need a generator.
Truth be told, I brought
a cord.
I'm
worried that if there's a hurricane, you won't be able to plug up and you're just going to be irritated.
I mean, the other night, I will say that all of my things were not plugged in. And I do have one that plugs into the wall and the other ones are all on a charge. And the charged ones were not working. And thank God for that one that fits into the wall, which I brought as a my backup, my what is it called? The generator, right? Like when your power goes out.
It's like if generator. Like a hoarder or like a doomsday prepper had cans of beans, you have this dildo that will always.
I don't know what I would do in a situation where I'm in like a bunker and there's like minimal energy.
Oh, you'd
I don't know what people used to use back in the day.
A tree? A log? Like
maybe those like. So can we. Noah, troubles at home?
I just had to yell at my fiance for unloading the dishwasher because I can hear all the plates and I don't want that to be on the podcast.
I'm sorry, but so many women are jealous of you right now because first of all, you have a fiance. Second of all, he's emptying the dishwasher. Let that angel do whatever the hell he wants to do. What else? Avi, stop. My fiance keeps rubbing my back and asking me if there's anything I need.
My fiance just paid the mortgage bill. Loud.
Loudly. Stop clicking send on all the bills.
He just paid off my student loans that I could never afford.
By the way, we were talking about delivery in the first segment. My tone was really bad. I should go apologize.
No, it wasn't at all. It was that of a woman who's working in a shared space with her fiance. But seriously, tell him to keep it down when he calls your mom so that you don't have to.
Yeah, what if he was working and you were sitting on a lazy boy watching sports with your hand inside your pants?
Yes.
Real too loud. How would he feel?
Listen, if my hands were in my pants, there would be something loud in there.
Blood. There would be blood.
Oh God, Andrew.
You get in there.
No, I don't.
I heard it.
How did you sleep last night? Because we're supposed to go into, to introduce you, I was supposed to ask, how do you sleep? Because I do want to really lean into the fact that sleep is so important. And I think that we all need to ask ourselves that a lot more in our friends, because this whole idea of like, I didn't get any sleep, I'm cool, is so done. All I wish for my friends is good sleep. I'm obsessed with everyone on this set. I'm obsessed with if they're sleeping or not. No one's sleeping except me. I have the best schedule on this show. Everyone's stressed. They're all fine and fun, but I'm sleeping like a, well, last night wasn't great, but how'd you sleep?
I slept great. So as you know, your boy's a Winnie the Pooh sleeper. I sleep with a t-shirt on and nothing else.
Okay.
I
and my his hand in a hang. Jar of honey. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Jar of honey, which makes me piss sap in the middle
like
of the night.
Kids put their cans in warm water. If you put your hands in honey,
you'll piss sap. And so
God, there will be sap.
Sap is such a strong word for one syllable.
Yeah, it's almost like WAP.
Oh, yeah, WAP.
Sad-ass pussy.
God, we were really diving into those lyrics yesterday. They're really good lyrics.
Oh, my God, we were getting into WAP yesterday on the way into my shoot, because I'm on location. We were just cruising in, because it's about a 25-minute drive, and those lyrics are incredible. That's why I love so much rap is so funny, as in, like, stand-up comedy funny, like, comedic writing. I mean, it's still
I just feel so, it really tickles me that we thought of sap and we went to WAP and not rap.
Like, well, because you said it was like it had some, because rap doesn't have like rap. It doesn't have the same kind of WAP as like, whoa. Oh.
So I slept last night, no shirt.
Okay.
Completely naked.
Oh, gross. Well, that's not Winnie the Pooh.
No. I'm saying I usually Winnie the Pooh when I don't feel comfortable with my upper body.
You usually just have.
Because I have man tits. We all know that.
You are alone in bed and you want to wear a shirt by yourself in bed.
It's the same reason why I keep my nipples hard when I shower, because I have man tits. I don't like them. My dad had breast cancer. I feel like my tits are eventually probably going to kill me. I don't know. There's a lot of
depth. As a part of you, I'm not saying hoping for it, but like wanting to get a breast reduction, having a reason to get a breast reduction as a man, because it is a thing that you can get.
I mean, The Rock, apparently, I remember got yelled at. He did something with his tits to make them look better.
I've known men that I respect and love who are manly men who have had breast reductions.
Okay. Well, then maybe I should look into that, because the reason why I wear a t-shirt is because I don't want to look at my own fat tits in the middle of the night. Or sometimes what I'll do is I'll sleep on my side and I never feel fatter than when I sleep on my side.
Oh, you got cleavage going sometimes?
I could literally feel my own hand between my fat tits.
No, I relate to that. If I'm just feeling kind of like more puffier, I don't want to like feel my butt. Like sometimes I'll itch myself with a pencil so I don't have to touch my stomach, like in an area, like on the side. Sometimes my love handle, if I just hit it a wrong way, and this is, by the way, totally body dysmorphic. This is sad that I even think this way, but sometimes it's sap that I think this way. But if I touch a part of my body that feels a little like, ugh, I'll touch it with a pen. I'll scratch it with a pen so I don't have to actually touch it.
So that's your Winnie the Poohin'. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so last night, because I've been exercising, I've been kind of focused on health and fitness since we are in location in a tropical area, and I have more time to do this. I slept completely naked, which felt great to wake up naked and to know that I'm comfortable without having my own fatty tits affect my sleep habits.
Well, the fact that you sleep naked mere feet from my own bedroom is going to make it so that I'm not going to be sleeping well.
Too turned on?
Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
He says that line all the time, you guys. You heard it here first. So we're calling this segment where Andrew gives us some headlines of the day. You heard it here first. And you actually might be hearing these first, because we do pull some stories that we think are a little, are important to know, but might not be the front headlines, although we will cover top headlines
as well. Yeah, because usually front headlines, everyone's already talked, like a million of them are already hitting
but
it
also,
up.
But also, we will cover our takes on those, but there weren't any like crazy ones today, but there were some great stories, and I can't wait to get to them. Please share.
All right, so the first story, guys, is...
What? What are you laughing about already?
It just felt so like I was thinking about how I was gonna do was the headline normal so Nikki wouldn't get mad at me. So okay. I didn't sound too much like a news reporter.
I talked and- to the, I listen, you guys, this first show is kind of a shit show right now because there's so much to make sure my listeners know. I want you to know that we have done test shows to prepare for this day, even though it might not seem like it. And so he is a little bit anxious about some of the things I've told him to work on leading up to the top show. The first show. I also want to say, Andrew, that I already told in my private talk that you were already eavesdropping on. Well, the first part of it that you maybe missed while you were on my balcony and smelling my vibrators was that you and I had a great talk last night about like our relationship, and because we live so people are very confused by our relationship sometimes. We are not confused by it. We're best friends. We live together. We're both heterosexual platonic friends who have never sexually done anything romantically, anything. It's never been that way. It never will be that way. We are best friends, and now we're working on the show together, and people have a hard time grasping that. Anyway, our friendship can sometimes be very it can be the best, and can sometimes like have some problems, as every relationship does. But last night we had a great talk.
Fantastic talk.
So tell me what you're feeling right now so we can get ahead of this so it doesn't bubble up to later. What are you feeling right now going into this segment that I have bestowed upon you to do yourself and to really take control of?
I honestly, it was completely sarcasm up top. I just thought it was funny that I said, I don't think I've ever said, first story, guys, like I'm talking to an audience since we started practicing this. It had nothing to do with last night. I felt like last night was a fantastic talk, and it also helped me probably sleep better than I have in a long time.
Great.
And
why was I up till 5 then?
Probably has something to do with the power outage this morning. So, all right. So you heard that story first. Okay. And then, although liver diseases.
I can't wait to already.
A funny story. This is serious.
Andrew's cracking. Oh, no. That's so funny. You already know the story that's coming.
Yes.
And you're like, why are you laughing?
Twice.
Okay. I'm already laughing because he is incapable, and I'm trying to say this in the nicest way, you are incapable of reiterating a news headline in a way that actually captures the essence of the story while sounding like you are telling something factual as opposed to, you know,
for sure,
editorialized.
Okay, so
I feel like you're already putting your spin on it.
Here we go.
Okay.
Although liver diseases still affect more men.
What are you... That was all one. Although liver diseases was one word for you.
Although liver diseases.
Yeah. So let's enunciate.
Okay. I thought we were putting all the words together. Okay. Although.
Are you giving the website to go to althoughliverdiseases.org?
You don't want it to be newsy, so I put it all together.
Can I do what I would do after you do what you do?
Okay. Although liver diseases still affect more men, younger women are driving the increase in deaths, as alcoholic liver disease is up 30% over the last year.
Oh my God. If I'm a listener, guys, I tuned out halfway through that. Can I deliver it as I would?
I know how I would do it.
Okay, let's do it again. Let's do it again.
Dude,
take two.
Can you believe, bro, that younger women are driving up increased deaths of alcohol liver disease? 30%?
Okay, that's a more interesting take. I kind of like that side. Like, I have told Andrew, like, you can put it in your own words, but just make sure it's still the same data. Mm-hmm. From the headline, like you don't need to read the headline as we give it to you. That was slightly better, but still, we're still working on it.
Okay, but can you believe it?
But here's the story. Can I guess what the story is about? Even though that was really,
yeah, go
jarbled.
In. Go in.
I think that recent data is showing that liver disease caused by alcoholism has jumped significantly and shown a spike in women. And women's deaths are shooting that number up more than they ever have, when usually it's probably something that is either 50-50 or maybe mostly men. But the pandemic and the rise in drinking due to the, you know, wine culture, and it's wine o'clock somewhere, and I gotta have my wine if I'm gonna have kids, or like, give me a kid with a side of a bucket of wine so that I don't have to... Being a mom is...
Yeah, like, oh my God, I need a margarita.
Stop whining. children, because your mom's going to whine over here. Just these dumb things, like this culture of like wine is okay to just because you're a mom and you worked hard. Not that you shouldn't be able to enjoy a drink of wine or a glass of wine or two if you don't have
it
a problem with it.
It just makes alcoholism silly.
Yeah. It justifies it. And as someone who is an addict and has addictive behaviors, I'm always looking for socially ways that I can point that society is telling me what I'm doing is okay.
For sure.
So I get it.
And
I
you
really
need
do.
It. You need it. But the problem is when it happens every day.
Yes. But listen to this. So alcoholic liver disease is more of a threat for women because their bodies process alcohol somewhat differently than men. We know this. Girls, we know this. We can't drink as much as men, even though it's a badge of honor when you can drink a guy under the table. And Dreaming, Dave Matthews Band.
And
first
then
he album.
Goes down on you. Down
the
there.
Trend that began several years ago is now supercharged by the pandemic. Yes, staying at home, a lot more people are drinking wine. A lot more people are being home. And like that, the little like happy hour that used to be an event is now turning into like, oh, I'm just going to walk into my other room. And that is now, you know,
you think it's on
pool of hands where I used to go every Friday with the girls.
Do you think it's because also a lot of women are taking medication and then now you're drinking on top of medication? You always hear like, oh, if you drink while you take Advil, it might hurt your liver more.
Yeah.
That could possibly be it.
I think that our culture just is really making it so that women drinking alone is almost like a cool thing now. Like that it's acceptable, and it's just, and it is acceptable if you can do it responsibly. But if you have a problem with it, you gotta just be honest about your problem, because there's nothing wrong with you. We don't want you to die, ladies. And I'm proud of you for getting up there and competing with the men with, you know, dying from liver disease. But
I mean,
we can do anything. Truly, women can do anything. We've proven it. But I think this is kind of a wake up call to maybe anyone who is hearing it that maybe is like, hey, I should watch out for that. So just be careful out there. I think this is an interesting statistic that I did want to include this story, even though it's kind of dark, as many of the livers of the women in the story are.
Yeah, I mean, it's a spotty story for sure.
Mm-hmm. Another liver joke.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to a perhaps more uparted. Uparted?
Yeah. So the next story is more women are getting cancer.
Oh my God, no.
That's not the next story.
Oh, that's not the next story. And I'm sorry I laughed so hard.
Sorry.
I laughed because I knew that was a fake thing.
I'm
you guys,
sorry.
I'm not
it's
laughing at
worse.
Cancer.
It's way worse.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, billionaire Kylie Jenner sparks fury by asking fans to pay for her stylist surgery after they got in a car wreck.
Okay, so tell me the details of this. Kylie Jenner is a billionaire, which a lot of people say she's not a self-made billionaire. She came from money from her family. I get it. Everyone has a problem with it. She's still a billionaire. Give it to her. Whatever. I don't really care. But she is a billionaire. Let's talk about what happened. She is one of her makeup stylists.
Her makeup stylist got in a car wreck, needs brain surgery. I don't know. I did do a little digging. I don't know if they had health insurance or not. Mm-hmm. And the number got up to wanting. So they started a GoFundMe, the family.
Okay, his
Kylie
family.
Kylie Jenner shared the GoFundMe.
His family.
His family.
Got it.
Not her. His family started it. She shared it on her story. Mm-hmm. She donated $5,000. Now, what I've learned is that when she donated, everyone goes, only $5,000. What the fuck's wrong with her? At the time, his family was asking for $10,000, and they raised $6,000. She gave $5,000 to actually get it over the hump to $11,000, essentially.
Okay.
Now it's at $100,000 because she shared it. People are freaking out because she's asking her poor fans.
Even though when she shared it, she had already went past the cap.
Yes.
Or what they were asking.
At least that's what the...
She brought it up to 11 when they were asking for 10. She still shared it, meaning that she knew that they might need more.
True.
Because why would you share it?
Yes.
And a lot of people are mad because it's like, as a billionaire, why wouldn't you just go call them up and go, hey, what do you need? Let's take down this GoFundMe. I'll pay for all of it. Right?
Yes.
Noah, are we getting this all right?
You're getting it absolutely right.
And, okay, well, I completely agree with everyone on that. And she's a young girl, and...
Wait, you agree that she should get shit for not paying for all of it herself? Do you realize that this makeup artist has Chrissy Teigen as a client, Khloe Kardashian...
Not a billionaire. Not a billionaire. Keep going.
But why is it a billion? What's the difference between a billion and 150 million when you're talking about $60,000? I'm just saying that then it went up to 60,000. Why are we getting mad though at her? Like, she didn't. This is my thing with
mad.
This is my thing with Kylie though. Is like,
I just want to get even.
She charges $30 for a lip kit, right?
Yeah.
And then she'll put a lip kit that you need to probably, how many lip, do you have to get a lip kit a month probably?
Not what? Wait, we just learned that Andrew doesn't understand what a lip kit is how women.
How long does a lip kit last?
How long do you think a lip kit lasts?
A month.
Oh, babe. Okay.
Okay, how long?
Well, generally a couple days because you just lose it or you drop it in your purse and it like the little compartments fall out and then they get a bunch of like dirt and like gum wrappers in it and then get all over your other stuff and it's just unsalvageable. So, but generally if you're using a lip kit every day, and I'm guessing her lip kits, I don't know what they look like, but I'm assuming they have about 10 to 16 colors in them, maybe five in some
colors.
Of them. It would last you, I would say, 3 months if you're using it every day and like a year or 3 years, or probably you would throw it out before you even finished it for most of them.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Women really don't complete makeup a lot of times. There are certain products that you do complete, but most of the time you throw it out before it's done, especially with a kit situation where they give you colors that you're like, this one stinks, but I like this one.
Okay. But it's $30 for a lip kit.
Okay.
Let's say it comes with six colors. It lasts 4 months if you use it every day. So then you're spending... If it's 4 months...
What is your point? We get it, yes.
My point is that she puts up a post with a lip kit asking her poor followers
to
buy
$30. Why doesn't she just give them that?
For lips. And with these lips, you're going to be as hot as me. And we don't get after... I mean, maybe some people get after her. But now she just put up on her story a link to a GoFundMe. And everyone's like, you're a fucking billionaire. If she was fucking made
it's
it
a
post...
Point.
And she was like, hey, donate to the GoFundMe and you could have my tits. Then I would be like, that's pretty fucked up. But she just shared it on her story. And she's not
promoting. You know, listen, I like promoting giving. I like promoting altruism and being generous with your money. But I really do want to keep some things in perspective when we're talking about a billionaire. These are things I did not know. And I pulled up some facts from a Sam Harris podcast I listened to a really long time ago. His podcast, I'm going to reference him a lot on the show. I'm sorry if you're not a fan, but these are not political statements of his. This is just facts about giving. But he said Mark Zuckerberg recently donated $75 million Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan, gave $75 million to San Francisco General Hospital. This is a transcript from his thing. And this is the largest gift to a public hospital ever, apparently. And yet the city's board of supervisors voted 10-1 to condemn the naming of the hospital after Zuckerberg and Chan. They vilified Zuckerberg in this process. So, Zuckerberg and Chan gave $75 million to a hospital, and obviously this is a wonderful thing to do, he says. And the fact that this is the largest private gift to a public hospital ever tells you that it should be celebrated rather than sneered at. Agreed. Same as Kylie, right? Which is what the social justice lunatics on the board of supervisors have done. Okay, so that was his thought. Beneath the animosity of the supervisors is the growing problem of wealth inequality. Zuckerberg's gift probably seems more generous than it is. Okay, so $75 million, you're like, holy shit, that's a lot. Okay, he is worth $75 billion. Then Sam Harris checks it and he goes, oh, actually, he is worth $100 billion, actually. And he goes, wow, somehow between me knowing how much he's worth and today, he made another $25 billion, right? Okay, so Zuckerberg's gift probably seems more generous than it is, he says. In fact, for someone with $75 billion to cut a check for $75 million, that's like someone... with $75 million cutting a check for $75,000, or for someone with $75,000 to give $75 towards some cause. Okay, but here's the thing. If you give $75 and you have $75,000, that's actually more money than what Zuckerberg gave, because $75 is more precious to you than $75 million is to Zuckerberg. So Kylie Jenner being a billionaire giving...
But then you could say that proportion, though, the $75 million will go way longer than the $75 that person gives. Does that make sense?
But you still don't deserve a bunch of credit for it and deserve a hospital to be named after you, because in the scheme of things, you're parting with, you know, what amounts to $100 from someone who makes, you know, a very, very livable wage. And you don't get wings named after you when you give $100 if you're someone who's a school, a tenured school teacher.
Don't you think shitting on someone that does a good deed, even though it's not exactly the
right
way.
No one's shitting on him. I'm just making a point about wealth inequality.
No, but people
were
shitting on Kylie Jenner.
He's talking about Kylie, though.
Yes, I understand that. But I think it's good if we look at it from a numbers perspective and say that this isn't really the most that these people can do. But it is good to... It would be better if she gave more and said, you should give as much of the same percentage of your income that I give, if you can.
Although that would be more to that person that gives it. My point is that she could have not have shared it at all. Like, what if that?
And I guess she won't ever again.
Maybe she won't. Yeah. Or maybe other people won't.
I'm just saying, I don't think anyone understands what $1 billion is. And the fact that...
I do hear when people argue, though, they go, well, actually, they are worth $75 billion, but that's in stocks and everything. They actually only have, like, you know, $3 billion under, like, cash, mm-hmm. which does change how you look at things.
Yeah.
You know, Kylie Jenner.
I just love the fact that.
And I'm not trying to be like, billionaires, you should feel bad for billionaires. I'm just saying that if someone does a good thing and they get shit on, it's going to stop people from doing good things.
Yes. This is just the part of that Sam Harris that I love about wealth inequality that I just think I want to share with my listeners. He says, most people just don't have good intuitions about the magnitude of differences in wealth. The richest people now make in a day, what the most successful movie stars, Tom Cruise and Will Smith and Scarlett Johansson, make over the course of many years or even a lifetime at the absolute pinnacle of success in the movie industry. Like, I got into the entertainment business, and I'm not going to lie, partially it's the money. I want to be wealthy because I want to take care of all the people I love and have a great life. And it's not even the greatest, it's not even close to the best business to be in to make the most money. You, as a kid, you always think like a movie star is like the pinnacle. Or like being a prince, but that's so far
or
off.
Or being
but
a
now
sports player. Yeah. But the owner is what you want to be.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I want you to make as much money. So if I get in a car wreck and I need $38.
I won't share it on my story, but I'll actually, no, I can give you a story, but I might take it down before 24 hours.
would you put a swipe up or yeah. would you just?
What I think we learned here is that Andrew thinks lip kits last a lifetime.
That's the best.
And they do because they end up in the sea as trash and they're not biodegradable and everything's trash. Next story.
Okay, next story. Spain is going to trial a 4-day work week. The pilot program will reduce the 40-hour work week to 35 hours.
I love this. Spain's on top of it. Spain, siesta. They already did a good job with like letting their sleep, getting more sleep in. Siesta's built in. I love the idea that there
well,
is a nation.
Well, they stay up very late. That's their thing.
Yeah, well, good for them. It's fun to be up late. Staying up late is cool. It's what all the cool kids do. I don't think America will ever get to a 4-day work week. We are too, you know, obsessed with working hard. I work 7 days a week if I can, and I hate taking days off. It's uncomfortable, so I'm part of the problem. But I love that there is a country that is...
But
like
you think
people,
government should get involved in that?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that otherwise it's going to happen. I know Shake Shack does, in that article, it said Shake Shack in America does a 4-day work week for their employees.
Yep.
And they see an uptick.
So who makes the burgers on Friday?
I mean, they stack the workers in different ways.
Yeah,
oh. You know,
the thing about this article is that it employs more people, it creates more jobs, and it keeps salaries at the same rate. But the, you know... And this is where like economics comes into play, where you make one change and it affects something else, because then that affects the prices to the consumer.
Right. But so we might have to pay more if people are working less hours.
Yes.
But people are getting paid more and there's more jobs.
They're getting
yes.
paid the same, but it's creating more jobs.
Right. I don't have a problem paying more, but that's just me. I don't have a problem paying more so that people... who make a less, like make a minimum wage, don't have to work as long of hours.
So then they could.
I'm probably losing listeners as I say that. I don't want to get political
well, no,
about it,
because
but I
then
just
they
have
could
no problem
donate
with.
To Kylie Jenner's.
I will.
Fun. For her to buy a lip kit.
Yes.
The 4-day week work week also takes away from driving to work as much. And also with the pandemic happening, I do feel like there's like this like feeling like we've all a lot of companies proved that they could work from home.
Yes.
That things can happen from home, that you don't have to work 9 hours a day to, and you could be more efficient.
Oh yeah, you can.
But
work
now
one
I feel like everyone's
your,
like, I take can't your wait video to off fucking soon. Drive to work on a Friday morning and get in traffic again. Like people are like I gotta do it because then that's how I feel like I'm alive because I'm actually working. I'm struggling.
I don't know.
But you don't have to struggle to feel successful or to feel fulfilled.
That's definitely the American way, though. You can't enjoy yourself unless there's struggle put in. It's how I live my life. Okay, our last news story, and Andrew's, you heard it here first, will always be something we like to call, why do I care? And that's going to be the soundbite for it from the first show, that lick. Why do I care? Andrew, give us a headline that I truly need to find out, why do I care? And maybe we can answer.
Orlando Bloom, get this, folks, says he and Katy Perry don't have enough sex after she gave birth in August.
Right. Well, I read this, and he was being interviewed in a magazine, which can be taken out of context. I've been interviewed before, and I've been sarcastic or joking, and then it's in print, it's like, I'm the biggest asshole ever, and it sounds like I'm being sincere. So I read further, and it was like, the guy asked him, how often do you have sex? And he said, not enough. I mean, we just had a kid, though. So, I mean, that's still, both those things can be true. And it doesn't mean he's being like, oh, I want more. She's a bad person because she's not.
And he did follow it up with saying that anal has never been higher. So.
No, he didn't say that. That's inaccurate.
Oh, I thought I... Oh.
Okay, thank you, Noah, for fact-checking
that.
Well,
I want to go on record and say that he said that.
I think this... Why do I care about this? I think I care about it because... I like that the journalist had the balls to ask him that. I'm sure that they were drinking and they were, like, having a little, like, loose conversation. I love that question. I love asking couples, how often are you having sex? A lot of times people, like, don't want to divulge that to me because they're not having it or... But I think it's just it's fascinating to me because I haven't been in a relationship in so long. And I think it's it waxes and wanes. Like, what's that thing that does that?
Well, I mean, how long should you expect your wife to want to have sex with you after she just threw a kid out of her vagina? Like, you know
I
what I mean? Like,
or if there's a C-section, yeah. Needs to have sex or would like to be intimate with you and you've just given birth. It should obviously never happen unless you are wanting it to happen too. But then you should allow him to watch porn or maybe partake in something outside of you that that would be purely sexual and not something that would jeopardize your emotional relationship or your sexual health.
So you're saying he should have sex outside the marriage if your wife just gave out a baby?
No, I mean, it should be consented, but I think women should consider like letting you don't want to fuck your husband, let someone else do it. And then a guy is not going to go have sex with some girl that's just like going to fuck a married guy. And he's not going to fall in love with her. He's just going to come and then he's going to come back home to you and he's going to be in a good mood because you let him go just do this thing. That is my thought. I'm sure there are many people that would never let that happen, but that is my thought. And I know I just probably lost a lot of female listeners. I am not saying that's for everyone. That is if you are okay with that. But I think a lot of men, that would be a good answer to a lot of this, like, oh, I don't have enough sex and I don't want to have sex with him, but I love him and I will again someday, but just not right now. Okay, go find a girl who wants to give you a blowjob.
So I guess I get what you're saying. I think, like, look, just because you can't come and have sex doesn't mean that you should also feel this burden. So if you come, you'll be happier. And I shouldn't have my shit deal with your shit, but you caused that shit by coming in my shit.
I just don't think that everyone should expect their partner to feel the exact same way they do. People, even though you're in a partnership, your partner might have different feelings about something than you do, and you shouldn't shame them for that feeling of wanting to have sex and wanting to have a physical connection with someone that honestly might not have jeopardize what you guys have if you allow it. I'm not trying to be like polyamorous, like free love. I'm not in a relationship, so I'm talking out of line. I don't know what that's like. So don't get mad at me, but that's just my thoughts.
I do think there's women at home that had a baby and they're fucking going crazy right now thinking that.
No, I'm not saying that it's like you should be cuckolded and let your husband go fuck someone if you don't want that. But I think that women should maybe try to arrive at a place that's like they can look at sex as like going to get a bite of food. like that innocuous to a guy. Because I do think that guys feel like nutting sometimes is as dumb as like a really good burger. They're not thinking about the burger afterwards. They're not trying to run away with the burger and leave their family for the burger. And I'm not saying that women are burgers. Okay, that's our new segment. Let's play a little game called Top Two, Bottom Two. That's when we go around the circle with producer Noah, Andrew, and myself, and we say our top two, bottom two of any certain category. Today, Noah, what is our category?
The category is gifts.
Okay, top two, bottom two gifts you've received. Now, these are going to be the top two greatest gifts you've received and the top two the bottom two worst gifts you've received. Let's start with bottoms. We'll each start with one bottom. Noah, kick us off. Producer Noah, kick us off. What is one of the worst gifts you've ever received?
A hand knitted sweater that looks like a like a baby sweater for an adult.
I saw this.
Yeah, and that I personally showed you. Ugh.
It. What did you do with that sweater? Because it was given to you. Can you say who gave it to you? I mean, I want you to only disclose as much as you want, because the person could be listening.
I gave it my mom, who I haven't spoken to in a while. Like, gave it to me as a gift, and I'm trying to keep the lines open and be positive. Mm-hmm. So right now it's just rolled up into a ball, stuffed on a shelf all the way in the corner of my closet.
It looks like something you addressed a baby before its funeral in. Like, it looks like an 1800s.
Does a present get more value if the person takes longer making it themselves?
I mean, there can be shitty gifts, but this is something, like, I think to Noah, and based on your relationship with your mom that has had, like, it's rough times, you receiving a gift that is so something you would not want adds, it's almost more insulting, because you're like, she doesn't know me at all. And I think that's what hurts about gifts sometimes so much, is not, the heart can go into it, but it doesn't matter, no matter how much time, it's that this person doesn't know me. And that's what I just learned of them, right?
Exactly.
It's so right funny, because I'm going to go right into this same exact kind of style of gift. My mom bought me and my two brothers a denim vest. Exactly the same ones. And I'm not like a cool denim. I was 20. I was 35 years old.
Oh, that makes me like.
She bought us all denim vests. I felt like initially my first thought is my mom is finally okay with me being gay. Mm-hmm. And this is the way she wants to show me at first.
And your brothers.
And my brothers that are married with kids. It was like, I don't know when you wear a denim vest.
What did she give it to you? What occasion?
It was for Hanukkah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you guys make fun of her? Was it like funny that? Okay.
No, yeah, we made fun of her to her. We always make fun of her gifts, because my mom has amazing fashion.
Yeah, she
does.
Until
she buys us clothes. Mm. Her, Prada, everything. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Everything. Me, Izod shirt with a
V-neck. A denim vest she got at Costco.
It was bad. Actually, it was $300. That's the saddest part.
Okay, so she did spend a lot of money, and it was probably designer, but it was.
It was in all of our fires during the winter.
I hope so badly that you three brothers took a picture with your denim vests on, as just like, oh, this is funny. We can all like
we hated them so much. We didn't even think to do that.
Oh God. Well,
they're recycled now.
And that was your Hanukkah. Like, that was the last night of Hanukkah gift.
I think that was the only Hanukkah gift that you, because we stopped talking to her on the second day.
One of my bottom two worst gifts ever was a baby doll my dad brought home for me when I was probably 4 or 5. It's one of my earliest memories, and it was the first time that I realized my family might be poor. And my dad brought home he went to a garage sale on his way home from work, and he was like, Nick, I got you this baby doll. And it was naked and like, old, but like, and I felt so bad for my dad, because I was like, he's trying to like give me this gift that's like, it made, and I cried so hard alone in my room, and I couldn't sleep that night, because I was like, my dad is like, it was just like a gift that you'd see like a dad in the Great Depression give his kid, to be like, I don't got nothing for you, but I got something. I pulled her out of the trash. And I, even at the age of 4, I could like have pity for my dad. And I remember I went into their bedroom late at night, and I was like, I can't sleep. And they were like, Nikki, why? And I was like, because that naked baby doll dad gave me, it was, and I couldn't explain what I was feeling, but what it was feeling was embarrassment on behalf of my dad. But when I look back on it, like, I don't know if you're getting teary-eyed, but like, I'm getting teary-eyed even thinking about it.
No, it's a. I wasn't.
It's so
sweet
that he tried, like that. My dad stopped at a garage sale and like.
I just can't believe that was your thought process at that age. I would just be like sad that my dad got me such a shitty.
No, I was like a smart kid that was very emotionally aware of things that I didn't even understand, and I'm not bragging by saying I'm smart. I just was like a very emotionally intelligent child, beyond probably more so than I am now. I've pushed so much of it down. Okay, so let's get into one of your top gifts.
Okay, a top gift of mine was custom Ray-Bans that my friend Roland got me, and he based it off a picture of Lady Gaga wearing her Ray-Bans.
Oh, he got you the Ray-Bans of that picture I took where you, by the way, you guys, producer Noah looks exactly like Lady Gaga. What were we watching the other day, Andrew, that we were like, holy shit, she is so Gaga. We were watching some Gaga clips, and Andrew just goes, I can't believe how much Noah is Gaga. I mean, it's insane. So I found a picture of Lady Gaga at Sirius XM Studios, where I originally met Noah. She was my producer on my show, You Up with Nikki Glaser. And now she's my producer on the Nikki Glaser podcast with iHeartRadio and Big Money Players. But she, I sent her this picture of Lady Gaga in Sirius XM at a certain studio that we could recreate the shot and she would look exactly like it. And Roland, our friend Roland, who was is the talent booker over at Sirius XM, he got you a pair of those exact same Ray-Bans so we could recreate the shot.
Yeah, so that's one of my favorite gifts.
We got to put up that picture.
I lost those glasses for 2 years, and I was so bummed, and I recently found them in a suitcase.
Oh, isn't that the best feeling? Noah, you have to post that picture. Guys, go see the two picture comparisons because we took those pictures. I took that picture of you, right, to recreate the Gaga one?
You did, yeah.
We did a great job of it. You can see how much she looks like her. So Noah's going to put that in her stories or maybe on her main post on Instagram, and you can follow Noah at Noah Injection. N-O-A Injection. I-N-J-E-C-T-I-O-N on Instagram. And Andrew Collin, you can follow him on Instagram at Andrew T. Collin. Not Collins, Collin. C-O-L-L-I-N. Andrew T. Collin. Andrew T. Collin, what is your top gift?
I mean, my top gift is, I think, from my grandparents when I was a kid, you would get a letter for my birthday, and it would be hard cash, and it would be like $200
bills. Oh, I thought you were going to say, it's like this handwritten letter that would really touch my heart, but it was just the cash.
Yeah, but the cash was so crisp. It was could feel it, and you could smell it. And when you're a kid, $200 bills, you could, you're Bill Gates. You're fucking Kylie Jenner. Lip
yeah, kit. Like, you're that kid in blank check.
Yeah, it's, and now you get a Venmo, you know, you could get a Venmo for 40 grand and it wouldn't feel as,
you
well, it'd feel
you're
pretty.
You're so right. Yeah.
But like,
it depends on what emoji was attached to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it was put on private emoji, or public, you know, letting
yeah,
those people
there was
know.
There's like an eggplant and like 50 grand. But yeah, no, but just that hard cash.
Yeah, that's great.
Because we don't even
and
carry
that's so
cash
nice
anymore.
That they, my Uncle TV used to always put a crisp $2 bills as like a joke in our cards. And those that crispness of new money really, it really does something to you as a kid. Great answer. Okay, my number one gift, one of my number one gifts was my bird, Kiwi. I had the best pet I ever owned was my parakeet Kiwi that I got when I was in fifth grade. And it was the only time I've cried from happiness in my entire life when I opened. My parents didn't have Kiwi yet, but they had it was a white package with red ribbon that my mom, and I was pissed because I wanted a bird that Christmas and there was no bird cage. And I was like, I was in a bad mood. Finally opened this thing. And it was like one of those little, it was like the styrofoam cuddle thing that bird owners know. It's like a cuddle toy.
Was it alive and your dad, or was
yeah,
it dead
it
and your dad got it?
Corpse of the parakeet. And they knew that I wanted a parakeet. I didn't specify how I wanted it. No, and I cried, and Kiwi ended up being the best pet I've ever owned. Sorry, Luigi. Sorry, Marion. Sorry, Simon. Sorry, Speedo. Sorry, hermit crabs that I killed by starving to death accidentally because I just didn't know what to feed you, and you smelled so bad, and I was scared of you. Noah, what's your other bottom gift?
Okay,
rapid fire.
The other one, it's kind of like a general thing, but I got these wooden earrings with like music notes in them, and they were clearly not bought for me. They were a re-gift. So a re-gift is a bottom.
Wow, a re-gift is the opposite of someone knitting you a sweater.
Yes, it's re-gifts are not okay unless you are honest about it, in which case they're more than okay, and I love it because it's recycling. It's good for the earth. Andrew, what is your number one bottom gift, your worst gift you've ever received?
Okay, my worst gift, and this can be kind of across the board here, but I got a $20 gift certificate to Best Buy, and I fucking hate it because you can't buy anything in Best Buy for $20, so it's going to make me fucking pay like $1,000 for a TV, but it's
going to
be like...
Dude, what year did you get a Best Buy gift certificate?
I mean, this was years ago. I can't remember.
Okay, so you could buy a CD. The CDs were going for like $17.99 back then. You know, this is talking 2004 prices. You could have gotten a cool Wallflower CD. I don't know. You pick up the new Billy Joel Greatest Hits. I think a $20 gift card to Best Buy is a great gift. And your mom's vest should have trumped a Best Buy gift card. But I do know what you're saying when you're given a small gift card amount to a big ticket price place.
Yes, that I can't afford.
But Best Buy also sells chewing gum and like.
But you know what yes, we could break it down.
A phone charger that you know you steal from me. Literally, he has not bought his own phone charger in 18 years. Anyway, okay, so I get what you're saying. My number one worst gift would be any jewelry from a man. And that includes earrings that Andrew gave me two Christmases ago. It was our first Christmas as friends. We met in January of 2018. It was that Christmas. He had been on the road with me, and he decided to spend some really hard-earned money on a pair of earrings. Did your girlfriend help you pick them out? Who helped you pick them out?
Some random girl that I actually hung out with randomly.
Okay, so you maybe got laid because you asked her for your help in picking out these jewelry, which is, I think, one of the strategies in that pickup artist book, The Game, is to be like, oh, I got to buy my friend a gift. Can you help me? And then
I also
suck
had a $10 gift certificate.
Okay, well, he bought me some turquoise earrings. That was a good gift because I do love turquoise, and he knew that, but they were just bulky. They weren't my style. I'm just telling you, men, even if you think you know what a girl wants, with Andrew thought going in, like, I can't fuck up. She likes turquoise jewelry. He still fucked up, and I did not receive the gift well. I was not very gracious, and I should have just shut my mouth. But you are in a group of all men, including my father, who's bought me jewelry and bought my mom jewelry. Just give us a gift card to Best Buy, and we'll get some. It's like you guys buy jewelry at Best Buy. I've been given some, you know, shitty gift from Zales. That was like some kind of heart thing that a guy thought I wanted. I've been given a pearl necklace that was gorgeous from Tiffany, from my beloved ex boyfriend who spent so much money. And it was, and all my friends were like, "Oh my god, it's amazing!" I don't wear pearls, and I know that every woman deserves pearls, but it was just giving me something to lose or have stolen from me. And I'm not good with jewelry. And I just if I want jewelry, I'll buy it myself, but I do appreciate the thought. Noah, what is the best gift you've ever received? Top gift, round robin, here we go.
I couldn't really think of the best gift, but the one thing that I always love receiving are flowers. I know it's corny, but I love it.
Oh, I didn't even think about flowers. That would have been on my bottom. I hate flowers. Why do you love flowers so much?
I just love them, and I would never buy them for myself, which is what makes it a good gift.
But don't you hate that you have to like put them, like cut them and like put them in a thing, and then they die, and then they just remind you of how things die and you'll die someday, and then you have to like throw them in the trash, and it's like sad, and they get kind of soggy and gross.
I'm okay with death. It doesn't.
Okay, I'm not,
me.
I guess.
There's other things.
Interesting. I think that's maybe why I don't like flowers, but I do. You know, you're not alone. Flowers, girls love flowers. And I hope to be one of those girls someday, but for now, edible arrangements. I don't have to watch them die. I just eat it all, and then it comes out as poop later.
Yeah, and I've only bought a girl a flower, I think, twice in my life. One time on Valentine's, I bought roses, and I pulled out the petals and put them like towards the bed, like Hansel and Gretel or whatever.
Okay.
Hansel and Gretel.
That's when an old woman cooks two children, but yes, we understand.
What's the one where they're going through the forest?
I think it's Hansel and Gretel where they leave a trail to get away. And I'm glad that you left a trail for this woman to escape and remember where.
She did all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right into another man's arms.
Oh, was this your girlfriend in college?
Yeah.
Oh my God. And you did the roast. Did she even like it?
I don't even know if she showed up, to be honest.
Oh my God, man. That's so sad. Okay. What's your number one top gift?
the gold chain you gave me.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
This just came back to bite me. Okay.
Yeah, it was such a thoughtful.
I did give Andrew a gold chain. I bought it for myself, and it just is too much, and I never wear it. It's always been on my jewelry box. I always see it. I'm like, the other day, he was trying to accessorize with some turquoise because there's a guy on our set who wears a lot of turquoise, and it's like, seems to be like, it makes him, this guy, look cooler to us, and we all like love it. And then Andrew got a turquoise necklace from the wardrobe department, and he's been wearing it as a joke, but he honestly like kind of likes it. It's kind of peacocking. Shout out to the Neil Strauss's The Game again, pickup artistry. And then the other night I go, you know what would be awesome? We were going to set, and I wasn't even on set. Like, we were just going to hang out with some people. And I go, it'd be so funny if you showed up wearing like a chain and your turquoise and the sunglasses and just like douche look just as a bit. And he walked in with this chain, and then I go, you can have that. And now he's like wearing the chain. Seriously, he lost the turquoise, even though he's wearing it right now as a joke. But
the chain too represents like a new beginning for me, maybe, you know, a guy that sleeps with his shirt off because he's okay with his fat tits. But like, it does. It like represents, like, I don't care what other people think. If I want to wear a fucking gold chain, I'm going to
fucking. How much do you think that chain cost me? Because I remember.
$450.
All right. Good guess.
What was it? What was it? How much was it?
$40. Okay. So.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
You said it was expensive.
It was. That's expensive to me for jewelry that I don't wear, you know, that I'm just taking a gamble on. And it was on the street. No, I think it was like
$80. One of my favorite presents anymore. I thought you gave me like a fucking like rich ass chain. This chain sucks.
That see, isn't that just, God, wealth inequality. It's right back to what Sam Harris said.
This isn't even a lip
kit. Or what I kind of said that he said. All right. Number one top gift for me. Drum roll, please.
Taylor Swift signed copy of a CD.
No, but that was a great gift. I did not say that, but yes, I would put that up there. It's not the number one for me. The number one for me is a lighter that was worth $1,241, I believe, that it was a DuPont lighter given to me by Charlie Sheen after the one night I met him and he accidentally set his hair on fire. Long story, but he accidentally inflamed his hair and I put his fire out on his head with my open palm, and because of that and because of my friend telling him that he should give me a gift because I was with my friend, she was like, give her a gift. He gave me this brand new lighter that he got is in a box and the price tag was on it. It's $1,200 something, and it's like the coolest fucking lighter. It's a DuPont black matte like cased, it's like gold. You've seen it. I use it.
I mean, my favorite part about this whole story is you thought it was broken.
Oh yeah, I didn't use it. So I got, this happened in 2013, I'm guessing. And I did not use it at all. I just was going to give it to my mom to sell on eBay. But I'm so glad I didn't, because now it's just always going to be this like artifact I have that I'll give to my kids that I'm never going to have. And it's just a great story that I'll share later. But I didn't use the lighter because I couldn't get it to work. And I thought it didn't have fluid in it. I just assumed it didn't have fluid in it. But then I realized that I just didn't know how to work it. And the second I showed Andrew 2 months ago, he took it out of the box and immediately opened it and made it work. And it is the coolest way it lights. It's DuPont lighter.
You it can doesn't it go out. Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
And you're going to be completely honest.
Yeah.
If Charlie Sheen gave you the same earrings that I bought you.
Best gift of my life. It has nothing to do with the lighter itself. It really could have been a guitar pick, you know,
No, that's how, that was the exact answer.
Yeah,
I wanted.
It was
Thank
just like
you.
The meaning behind
yeah.
it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to close up the show today with our final thought. This is always something that we wanted to say earlier on, but we had to move on because of time restraints. So one last time to get in something. Andrew, do you have a final thought for the day? It could be literally anything.
Yeah. My final thought of the day is that if you are having trouble with a friend, or if something's building, don't wait for it to build to ruin something that's so beautiful otherwise. So just if you're feeling low and you're feeling like maybe they couldn't handle it or they'll get defensive, that's okay. Just speak your truth, because 9 out of 10 times the person isn't going to be like, oh, fuck you. They're going to actually like really relate to you. And if it comes from a meaningful place, it will friggin' just live, dude.
I love that. My final thought is, keep those things inside, because if you bring them out at the end of a podcast, it can really just end on like a tone that isn't as uplifting as we wanted for the end of the podcast. So keep your feelings bottled up, hold them inside, take them out on your pets and your family and other
you
people on the road.
You chose liver disease as our first story. Mm-hmm.
And so many fun things happened today. Of course, I'm joking. I loved that final thought. My final thought is, thank you for listening to this podcast. I am so excited to explore this new territory with you. I want you all to know who are listening that this is going to be Monday through Thursday. I could have done a weekly podcast and made the same amount of money, but I fought to do it every day because I love communicating with you guys every day. I love being able to put something out every day. I love morning radio. I love the vibe it creates of like, these are my friends. I want you guys to feel like you're our friends. We want you to interact with us. We want you to write into the show, which you can do by sending us an email at thenikkiglazerpodcast@gmail.com. thenikkiglazerpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram @NikkiGlazer, @AndrewTCollin, @NoahInjection. I want to be honest and say that I could have gone a lot of ways with this show. I knew I wanted to do a podcast. I ended up at iHeartRadio on purpose.
They have been amazing. And I'm not just saying that. I know this sounds like an acceptance speech for like when people thank their agents and you're like, who cares? No one wants to hear about your agents. Just thank your boyfriend or whoever, you know, like you're a celebrity. We don't want to hear about that. Not about like the industry that, you know, lifts you up. But truly iHeart is huge. And they are giving me a much bigger platform than I would have had on my own. And I'm so grateful for that. And I want to take advantage of it. So however you're finding this podcast, either through an ad, through another podcast, or, you know, it came up on New and Notable on iTunes, or you have the iHeartRadio app and it was suggested, or which is a great way to listen to podcasts, by the way. And also I'm with Big Money Players, which is Will Ferrell's company, podcast network. And it was just such an honor to be asked to join his network and to be promoted through that as well, because Will Ferrell is a comedy god, and he now knows I exist, which is the coolest thing to me ever.
What's up, Will?
Yeah, Andrew and him have become personal friends. That's not true at all.
He probably
has no idea that you're even involved in this, but I do want to say that this is just a huge opportunity for me. I know that I have done the work and put in the work that I deserve this opportunity, and I don't want to fuck it up for you guys, and I'm really going to try my best. Write us, let us know what you think, but most importantly, and I don't ever ask for this, could you please subscribe, rate, and review? Please subscribe, rate, and review, and be kind in those things if you want to be. If you don't want to be kind, how about you don't do anything? Because look inside yourself if you want to go on there and give me one star and say how much you hate me. It's probably a projection on your own. So leave us a kind of review. It'll make you feel good. Or don't. Just listen and just subscribe when you want to. But I really appreciate you listening. It's not lost on me that this, you know, took an hour of your day. And feel free to listen to us on double the speed. That's how I consume podcasts, but I talk really fast, so you probably have to do it at half the speed. We'll come up with so many inside jokes with you guys. We'll come up with a thing to call you all. We'll come up with like a sign off. I don't know what any of that's going to be right now. But for now, thank you for listening to the Nikki Laser podcast. Thank you, producer Noah. And thank you, what?
Will Ferrell, I'll hit you up later to discuss.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow, guys.
How this is going.
Nikki Laser podcast.
Thanks,
see you
Will.
Then.